Welcome to another exciting edition of The Thought Police, the podcast from hell, the one where we tell you the real truth of what's actually going on. Kevin O'Sullivan's here with me. Afternoon, Kev.
Hello, mate.
It's been quite another busy week, isn't it?
It certainly has.
Odious Scobie, the scumbag, as he's become known, all over the fucking
Odious
papers.
Scumbag.
Yeah. I mean, I bet he had no idea that this is what would happen when he wrote a book.
I think that he basically... You know, we all know about royal books and royal reporting.
Yeah.
You know, it sort of takes the real story of the royals, turns it into a bit of a fairy tale. A few little facts that you turn into big stories. That's the way it's always gone.
Although, to be fair, when Diana was around, I mean, it actually really was a fucking soap opera because she was brilliant at coming up with lines and giving interviews to people, you know?
Well, no, I think it always has been a soap opera to some extent, but there's always been a kind of code with all of these books and all of these reporting. You know, if you don't go too far, we won't cause you any problems.
We'll just let you do it.
Yeah, that's the system. Omid Scobie, I think, naively, you know, has taken that remit and just fucking sent it into orbit.
Right.
And this book that he's written, by the way, I've had a flick through it. It's fucking boring.
Yeah.
There's nothing new in it.
Well, it's like the
last
one.
Apart from if you lived in fucking Holland.
Right. Exactly right. But even at that, the names that have been bandied about have been published before. You know, we know Tom Bowers said that this was a letter that was written by Meghan, supposedly, to the King, which is obviously another one of her ways of inveigling her way back into the kind of situation so that she can say, well, I wrote this letter, you know, and I can't disclose what was in it. But, you know, somebody else can disclose what was in it. But you're right, because he's not writing it as a journalist. Yeah. He's writing it as their mate, isn't he?
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
Yeah. I mean, if you read through the book, everybody else is a cunt.
Right.
But Harry and Meghan are saintly, you know, they're beacons of wonderfulness.
Of course they are.
Paragons of virtue. So it's quite clear where the narrative is coming from. But what he's done, you know, calls it endgame.
Yeah.
Royal family are not in a struggle for survival.
According
to him, they are. And he's just sort of let loose with all these fucking hurtful allegations and stories that, as I say, none of them are new.
Right.
None of them are fucking new. We knew all of them, apart from these revelations in Holland, which says that, you know, by accident, somehow or other, a paragraph got into the Dutch version of his book that said...
Which he says he didn't write.
Yeah, which said that it's King Charles and Kate,
right,
who are the alleged racists. But, look, who knows what the fucking truth is. But even if those two members of the royal family did say, I wonder what colour Harry and Meghan's baby might be, that's not racist.
No, of course not. Absolutely not. But the bottom line is, right, Harry, and I'd sort of forgotten about it until I re-watched it again, did that interview with Tom Bradby, in which he more or less killed the story off. Because when Bradby said, well, what about that bit about when you said that they were asking about the colour of Archie's skin? Yeah. And he was like, oh, well, that was the British press that said that. We didn't say that. Did you hear Meghan say anything about racism? No. So he says it didn't happen.
Yeah, we just played that clip
on our
show. And what's really funny about it is Tom Bradby's reaction, given that he's supposed to be a mate of Harry.
Right.
No, no, we didn't say the British press did that. And then there's this sort of pause and Tom Bradby goes, right. Fuck off,
and
Harry.
He has a second go, doesn't he? Because he goes, well, yeah, but you did say that there was concerns about the colour of the skin. Do you not think that's racist? No.
If you've got concerns about the colour of the skin, then that arguably is racist.
Yeah.
If you're just saying, I wonder what colour the baby will be, that isn't racist.
But I remember at the time, when we watched that Oprah interview, and I was listening to you today doing the fabulous Oprah impersonation.
Yeah.
He said,
Whoa, rewind.
You know, I mean, fucking hell. They couldn't have hammed it up any more than if they'd had fucking, you know, a set of dancing girls there. But, you know, it was always, to me, a fucking stunt that story came out. Because even Harry, when she was telling Oprah that particular version, he looked fucking shocked that she'd even said it. Because I still think that he basically just told her that to make her feel good.
Yeah.
And suddenly now it's become a story.
Yeah.
But, I mean, great stuff that Piers Morgan decided to come out and fucking launch himself the other night and name them. because everybody else is now sort of scrambling around. And people say to me, oh, who fucking cares about Harry and Meghan? Well, actually, if most of the world, which it was true at the time, thinks that the royal family are fucking racist, I think that is a huge story. You know, and it's got to be fucking nipped in the bud.
And what's funny about what Piers did on Talk TV, I think he did exactly the right thing. I think his reasons for doing it were right.
Yeah.
And the public have got a right to know. Secrecy, no good ever comes of secrecy.
Doesn't.
Honesty only comes from transparency.
Right.
So,
particularly when you're dealing with people like these two, who basically use kind of, you know, rumour, subterfuge, fucking planting little stories here, there and everywhere, you know, all the fucking time. It just never stops.
Yeah. And so he does it. So Piers sort of says, when I heard last night that he was doing it, I thought, oh, fucking hell. And then I thought, do you know what? Legally, there's no reason not to do this story.
There isn't.
No. You're not libelling Harry, Charlie and Kate. You're not libelling them because you're saying outrageously they've been accused of something that clearly isn't true in one paragraph in a book published in Holland.
Right.
I mean, that's not libelling them. It's not libelling anyone else.
No, it's just revealing something that it should be revealed.
So the rest of the press and the rest of the media today are basically going, oh, Piers Morgan has done this.
An outrage.
They're going to outrage. But secretly, really in all the newsrooms, they'll be going, why didn't we fucking do it?
Exactly right. Fucking right. Now, there's been a lot of people dying since the last time I saw you.
Fucking hell, Death City.
Fucking Shane McGowan from The Pogues. I just discovered the other day that he was literally at death's door.
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone was that surprised. Cause
he looked terrible. He did look terrible. Fucked.
But you know what's very funny is that I think this happened last year. Yeah. There was always this fucking, because we now become so fucking woke, that every time Fairy Tale in New York comes out at Christmas, they started, I think it was Radio 1 that started it. They started playing a version which doesn't have "you scumbag, you maggot, you cheap, lousy faggot," right?
Yeah, yeah.
So they had to expunge that, right? So I did a fucking rant, I think, on my show about how fucking ludicrous it was, and was doing the same thing on the fucking, on Twitter and all that. And you know what happened?
What?
The Pogues blocked me. Because the fucking Pogues had said, oh yeah, nowadays we wouldn't use that kind of language. And I'm going, what the fuck? So I was defending them. And because I wanted the original fucking version of the song, they fucking blocked me.
She's just woke cunts.
What is wrong with them?
She's just woke cunts, you know. Fucking Pogues. Thinking they jumped on a bandwagon.
Yeah. We'd rather be on Radio 1.
Did you know, I only found this out today on the day of his death, that Shane McGowan, you know, singer of arguably, certainly one of the most famous Christmas songs of all time.
Probably the best Christmas song.
Yeah, I think it's the best, definitely. Yeah, it's one of the rare Christmas songs that's actually good.
Yeah.
He was born on Christmas Day.
Was he?
Yeah, that was his birthday. I never knew that.
Well, I got to know bits and pieces about him because of Steve Lillywhite, because I became quite funny with Steve Lillywhite. And of course, it was Kirsty MacColl that sings along with him. She really fucking made the song.
Yes.
And Steve told me that because they were married at the time.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, it was bringing her in to do the song that actually fucking made it work, because they didn't really know what they were doing before that.
Yeah.
Because they had a version of that song, but without her. So, you know, it's really down to Kirsty, who is apparently a fucking amazing woman. And then Alistair Darling passes away, literally the same day, and Henry Kissinger.
I know.
I mean, they say things come in threes, but not usually on the same day.
Alistair Darling, about 5 years ago or so, he brought a book out, you know, his life story or something. And he published it, or publicised it, with this sort of event, drinks do and a few crudités at the Oxford and Cambridge Club.
Oh, yeah.
And he did a little speech and then he came around and chatted to everyone. So I met him. Nicest guy.
Yeah.
The nicest guy.
I heard that.
Trevor Kavanagh, for the veteran political columnist on The Sun, he confirmed that, knew him very well, said very, very nice man, very nice wife. And he said that Alistair Darling dates back to the days when even the Labour Party was full of decent people who actually just wanted to serve the public.
Which it isn't.
They're
anymore.
Not like that anymore.
Yeah, it's a very good point, actually. I can't think of anyone in the Labour Party currently who you would describe as, oh, he's a decent guy.
Yeah, he's a decent woman.
You know, because they're all sort of grasping at each other's fucking throats. They're always up to no fucking good.
Careerists.
They're always, careerists trying to fucking climb on top of somebody to get somewhere. You know, they're fucking odious people, really, aren't they?
Yeah.
Well, you can't say much about the Tories, can you?
Westminster's just full of cunts.
Yeah, it really is. Cunt central.
Cunts. You know. Cunt city.
Have you seen? I mean, the thing that fucking really pisses me off at the moment, right, is all of these fucking people that think they can just march around London like it's their fucking... Did you see the Albanians the other night?
Yeah.
Fucking, this is the second year in a row they've done it. It's their National Day.
Yeah.
National Albanian Day. So they've got these great... Horrible fucking flags. They've got this terrible, you know, sort of Germanic Nazi looking flag. And I'm not suggesting for a minute that they are Nazis, but it looks like the Nazi eagle that they used to have, you know. And I'm afraid
they've got a shit flag.
It's just a pretty, you know, kind of menacing looking flag. They put them all over their cars. They're all driving around in fucking top end BMWs, Audis,
and they're doing Mercedes, those donut things,
G-Class. Yeah, and people on Twitter were checking the license plates and going, check this one on the DVLA, it's not real, check this one on the DVLA, MOT expired. You know, I mean, they're all fucking, you know, these are people who are,
I think we know what they are.
According to the government, we're sending all these Albanians back. Well, it doesn't fucking look like it. There's fucking thousands
fucking
of them.
Fucking millions of them.
There are thousands of them blocking Westminster Bridge.
I mean, I wonder what they all do for a living.
Dealers! It's really... I said to somebody on my show, because it was happening when I was on, I said, bad luck if you try and get some fucking coke tonight. They're all fucking down at Westminster.
Terrible shortage of coke. Yeah.
Would you mind making it down to Waterloo? Well, that's where we all are tonight. Yeah. You know? Of course, that would be a terrible slight, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, but they do that every year to just say, we can do it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck you. And the police do nothing, just watch them.
Well, that's what the police do.
They just watch them and then we'll come back for you later after we've filmed you.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, that's good. Fucking morons.
Well, look at what they do with the Palestine marches.
No,
they just watch them. And, of course, when there was the pro-Israeli...
Have you been to any of those lately?
I haven't. No, because the last one was a pro-Israeli, which I should have gone to offer my support while I was busy. But I did notice...
That's what I call dedication.
I was down the fucking pub.
I was in Sussex.
I noticed that, once again, Tommy Robinson, you know, the English Defence League guy, he keeps getting arrested for existing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you're Tommy Robinson. Yeah. You're under arrest. I mean, what's he fucking done?
I know.
What's he done?
And then some of the apologists for these fuckwits who think it's all right to do that were like, well, he was told not to go.
Yes.
And he made a very valid point, I have to say, where he said, well, hang on. He said, what if I organise a march and I say I don't want the BBC there? What happens then? Can I fucking get the BBC fucking arrested? No.
Exactly.
Of course they wouldn't do that.
Exactly. Yeah,
and also the police fucked it up because they would have been much better off just leaving him there and letting him do whatever he was going to do.
Yeah.
Because by doing what they did and using 20 odd fucking police to arrest him, pepper spraying and all
ridiculous.
That, all it does is play to his audience who think the police have got it in for him.
Yeah.
Because it fucking looks like they do.
I'm glad you made that point because I was thinking about this. It's a bit like if I said... To you, I'm going to the Horseshoe for a drink. And I don't want you down there, Mike. I'm telling you, don't go.
Right.
And then, so you do turn up at the pub for a drink, and I get you arrested.
Right.
Well, why are you arresting him? Well, because Kevin told him he couldn't come.
Exactly.
That's not against
on a public street.
So Tommy Robinson had every right to attend that march, as far as I'm
concerned. I mean, the people organising the march had every right to say they didn't want him there. But they can't enforce that.
Can't enforce it, exactly right. And the police shouldn't be enforcing it either because he's a member of the public. He's got a right to fucking go there.
Yeah.
Instead, but you know, the police say, oh, we're absolutely even-handed. We're not biased towards the left. You know, the only person they keep arresting is Tommy fucking Robinson.
And then they locked him up for the night.
Yeah.
I'm going, sorry? I mean, I can understand them saying, all right, we're going to get you out of the area in case there's a problem. Fine, all right, okay, you can maybe just about justify that.
Yeah.
But what the fuck are you locking him up overnight for?
Yeah, yeah. And it's quite a clever ruse that he always says he's a journalist.
Yeah. Well, no, he's not stupid. And I mean, but the point is it plays into his hands because he's now back on fucking social media saying, I'm going to sue the police. So he gets another crowdfunding going, raises a load more money.
It's
all a bit of a fucking game, you know.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your mate. I heard you saying you know him, this guy at Five Live, who doesn't like
Nihal,
walking into the BBC. Because there's too many white
people. I used to work with him quite a lot. We used to do...
used to go up to Manchester.
Yeah, I used to be on a show that he hosted when I was doing TV criticism.
Right.
I mean, you know, I was getting very well with him, very friendly guy, but what he's talking about now is he's picked up the sort of race cudgel that's become a campaign for
him. He's actually managed to compare both things. I'm going to have a go at his name. It's Nihal Arthur Nayaki.
Yeah, Arthur Nayaki.
I think it's a Sri Lankan
Radio 5 host who says...
Born in Harlow, by the way.
Yeah, of course.
You know.
Gritty Harlow.
The gritty inner cities of Bradford.
The gritty streets of Harlow.
This is what I mean when we talk about, you know, when the BBC talk about being very diverse. All of the people they've got who are not white, who work for the BBC, might as well be, because they're all fucking middle class tossers, aren't they?
Well, what he's saying is, he says that when working at the BBC is bad for his mental health because there are so many white employees, and what he's really worried about is not so much that there aren't enough people of colour, but there aren't enough Muslims like him in the newsroom. But, you know, imagine if you or I, if you said, you know, I'll tell you something, it's good. I come to work, I see all these people of colour, all these black faces, it's really bad for my mental health.
Yeah.
You'd be in fucking jail for a hate crime.
Yeah, of course you would.
Why is he allowed to say that about white people?
Well, I had a thought, right? And I thought to myself, because whenever I've been inside a BBC building, which I haven't been for a while, when I walk into a BBC building, it's bad for my mental health, because all I can see is fucking wankers!
Yeah, and all you see is fucking wankers looking at you going, what the fuck is Mike Graham doing
fucking
here?
Fucking bigoted bastard. How did he get in here?
But, you know, it's strange that he...
But you're absolutely right, though. You couldn't say that if you were white,
could you? Of course you couldn't. So, double standards again. By the way, talking to the BBC... So they're trying to slash £500 million worth of costs.
Right.
So that means that Newsnight is getting slashed to 30 minutes, and they're losing 30 of their 60 staff. 60 fucking people work on that piece of shit.
What, to do half an hour now?
Yeah. You really want to save some money, Auntie Bieber? I've got a much better fucking idea. Don't cut it back to 30 minutes. Cut it back to fuck all.
Yeah, no
Get
minutes.
Rid of it. Fucking piece of shit show.
I don't even know who presents it anymore.
Kirsty Walk just gave up.
She's given up.
Just gave up.
And so presumably it'll be bloody Victoria Derbyshire.
She does a lot of it.
Everybody's, you know, sitting in fucking presenter. Newsnight used to be, I was saying this to somebody the other day.
It used to be 7.
It used to be a great show to watch. You had to watch Newsnight, like you used to have to listen to Radio 4 Today programme.
Exactly right.
And you used to have to fucking watch Question Time. Now, none of it's any good. It's all shit.
Yeah.
It's fucking rubbish.
You're exactly right. It used to be for journalists, two seminal programmes to watch every day. We're at the start of the day, Radio 4 Today programme.
Yeah.
Now, total left-wing shit.
Right.
And you finish the day by tuning into sort of Jeremy Paxman's excellent news night.
Because they have a big interview.
Where secretaries of state, important people, all turned up to be interviewed. Now, fuck all anyone's ever on it. And it doesn't say anything except left-wing bullshit.
Yeah, and also so much of their news is now fucking wrong. I don't know if you even fucking mentioned Jeremy Bowen. News wrong. That'd be a great show, actually. The thing is, though, fucking... Or News Fight, which Alex says...
News Fight!
Quite good. Yeah, a couple of fucking, presenters punching the shit out of each other. I've watched that. But did you see Jeremy Bowen being interviewed the other day? I think it was a BBC show, one of those BBC programmes where they sort of, you know, investigate themselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, he admitted on fucking camera that he made a mistake when he said that the BBC was sure that Israel had bombed the hospital that had been blown up and 500 people had been killed. And here's what he said. He actually said, yes, I did get that wrong, but with all the experience that I've got, I looked at that situation, I saw a picture, and it looked as though it was the hospital. It turned out it wasn't the hospital, it was the car park, but it looked like the hospital had been razed to the ground. So I immediately came to the conclusion that it was an Israeli bomb that had hit it and had completely wiped everybody out. And so 500 people dead seemed to be a good way of reporting that. This is what he said.
So he just guessed him.
And the guy questioned him and said, well, do you regret saying that? And he went, no.
So he just guessed him.
Yeah.
Well, I reckon that probably was the Israelis, and I reckon about 500 people are dead because I've got a lot of experience. That's not how you do a story, Jeremy.
But, I mean, isn't it incredible that the BBC is now at that point where he thinks that that's okay? I mean, normally you would be fired for shit like that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think it's a bit like that bloke, John Simpson.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one who's,
he's got fucking defended
them not...
I think he's got a bit doolally,
isn't calling Hamas his terrorists. Yeah. Terrorists. The thing is about
David
Attenborough,
so
you think about him. Think about Bowen. Think about John Simpson. It seems to me that the longer you're at the BBC, and both of them have been there for 100 years, the worse a journalist you become.
That's right, because you don't have to try anymore, because everybody looks at you and goes, oh my God, Jeremy Bowen, you've been here for so long, you're the greatest foreign correspondent ever, you know, and everybody trusts you. And that's what's dangerous, because people still do trust them around the world.
Yeah.
And as a result of that report, fucking people were rioting in the streets all over fucking the Arab world, because they thought that the Israelis had blown up a fucking hospital.
I know. They hadn't. Shocking. They hadn't.
Absolutely shocking. Talking of the Arab world, what about COP28? That's taking place this week.
Are you going on your private jet?
I'd like to go, but I couldn't get a private jet. They're all booked out. there's none left.
I mean, fucking hell. I suppose that these three...
Do you know who's gone? Fucking Humza Useless has gone. From fucking Scotland.
Jesus,
the fuck is he going there?
You've got Sunak, the new Foreign Secretary, Lord Snooty Cameron, and fucking King Charles.
That's a great name for him.
All going on their own private jets to save the planet.
Yeah.
COP28 in Dubai, where they're going to be making oil deals. Right. What the fuck is
the guy in charge who's hosting it, right?
Yeah.
Is a fucking...
He's the oil tycoon.
He's the owner of the 8th biggest oil producing company in the world.
What the fuck? Every fucking year we get the fucking COP comedy, don't we?
It's ridiculous.
It's an absolute comedy. And I get, you know, I wonder if that fucker Leonardo DiCaprio...
Oh, I'm sure he turns up.
He usually turns up.
Like, there's usually a sort of sprinkling of celebs, isn't there?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I wonder whether they'll be going to show their solidarity in Palestine as well this year, because they'll have to do a bit of that if they go to the Middle East. But, I mean, I was talking to my daughter Emma about this, and I said, there's only one thing you can be certain about at COP28 that they will decide to do, and they will all agree on, that we should do a COP29.
Yeah!
Is that the only fucking thing that ever happened?
Hell for you! Do you remember last year, the guy was...
I think it's in Brazil already. They've already decided where it's going to be.
Oh, yeah. It's always somewhere nice. What was his name? Alok Sharma?
Oh, yeah.
Who was the minister to serve. And he decided that COP27, which was in Egypt, if I remember rightly, hadn't really been the success he hoped. And he burst into tears.
I thought it was in Glasgow.
Wasn't it in Glasgow? Was that when he did
it? Was 26.
Okay, yeah, you're right. And he got it together with Allegra Stratton.
That's right.
Anyway, he says, oh, it wasn't quite the success I hoped for. We didn't get the deal that I hoped, and then burst into tears. And I thought it was a very moving fucking wanker moment. Fucking cunt.
Absolute twat.
Grow up. Don't cry. Yeah.
What the fuck is wrong with you? I think you've been up all night on the fucking angel dust or something.
He's
a bit emotionally fragile.
Of course COP26 didn't fucking work. No cops ever fucking work. They're ridiculous.
Because if they did work, they wouldn't have had fucking 27 of them so far, would they? That's the fucking point. We're going to take a short pause here to hear from some friends of ours at Shopify, and we'll be back after this. Hey, Kev. Do you know what that sound is? Do you know what it means? That's something that a lot of people have been hearing a lot of just lately. And you can't help but think of money, can you? Because when you hear it, what's going on? Is everyone else starting some kind of side hustle or becoming their own boss? And you know what they're hearing? They're hearing that sound. It's the sound of yet another sale on Shopify. And it's the all-in-one commerce platform which can start, run, and grow your own business. It's revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide. And whether you're selling whatever it is, whether it's a podcast, whether it's a t-shirt, whether it's shoes, whether it's works of art, Shopify simplifies selling online and in person so you can successfully grow whatever business you've got. It covers all your sales channels, from a shopfront ready point of sale system to its all-in-one e-commerce platform. Shopify even gets you selling across social media marketplaces. You can use Facebook, you can use Instagram, and you can use TikTok as well. There's all sorts of industry-leading tools, and they're ready to get you growing. Shopify gives you complete control over your business and your brand, and you don't even have to learn new skills. You don't have to worry about the design. You don't have to worry about the coding. You've got 24/7 help. And with an extensive business course library, Shopify is ready to support your success every step of the way. All you got to do is have a quick look on it, and you'll be able to see how easy it is to find your way through various different pieces of advice, because you can revolutionize your business with the help of Shopify. It doesn't matter how big you want to grow, Shopify will be there to empower you with the confidence and the control to take your business to the very next level. It's time to get serious about selling, and if you are, get Shopify today. And this is a possibility, because what you can do now is sign up for a £1 a month trial period at shopify.co.uk shopify.com/thoughtpolice, and it's all lowercase. And that is shopify.co.uk/thoughtpolice to take your business to the next level today. Don't forget, it's easy. shopify.co.uk/thoughtpolice. So, speaking of fuckwits, what about Matt Hancock?
Oh!
The fucking doctor.
COVID Matt.
COVID Matt. Saying that he thought he'd done a really good job. The thing that amazes me about all these fucking idiots, right? Including Gove. Raab was in this week, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Fucking Sadiq Khan was there. My favourite line that came out today was from Jenny Harris saying that, that Boris Johnson thought masks were a load of bollocks.
Yeah. Yeah, but so here's what's astonishing about Dame Jenny Harris. Dame. They all got their Damons and their knighthoods.
There's nothing
they?
Like a dame.
For fucking up the pandemic. Yeah. You fucked up in spades.
Well done.
We'd like to honour you.
Yeah.
But anyway, Jenny Harris, Dame Jenny Harris, as she is now, she was the deputy chief medical officer in the pandemic. And
she's the forgotten one.
So she said two things at the cunt inquiry, the useless COVID inquiry, that stunned me. One was that it was entirely clinically justifiable to take COVID suffering pensioners out of hospital and stick them into fucking care homes where they could infect their elderly mates. Absolutely outrageous. I don't think that's clinically justifiable, but it's certainly not morally justifiable.
No.
And secondly, this was the fucking killer for me. She said, oh yeah, well, masks, there's no proof that they worked. Well, why were we made to wear them by law then?
Right. Well, why didn't you say that at the time? Exactly right.
Fucking hell.
But this is the thing. I mean, they were arguing this week with between Dominic Raab and fucking Sajid Javid about who was in charge. I said, hang on a minute, why would anybody want to admit to being in charge? Fucking shambles. You'd be running away at 100 miles an hour for anything that goes that fucking wrong, wouldn't you?
Yeah. But I'll tell you something, right? Here's the deal with this. People say, well, because the scandal of this very expensive inquiry, which has already cost more than £100 million.
Unbelievable.
It's employing more than 100 lawyers, not to mention everybody else. You know,
well, this is a new gravy train.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get on the inquiry.
The scandal of it, of course, as you well know, is the remit. So the remit does not allow any questions about whether or not. It's only, did we lock down early enough or did we lock down extensively enough? No, they're not allowed to ask, should we have locked down at all?
No.
That's the fucking key question.
Right.
So anyway, there's so much shit flat. So people go, well, who made these rules? Well, I'll tell you who made these fucking rules. When the government hired Baroness Heather Hallett in June 21, they said, you've got to come up with the boundaries. What is this inquiry about? So she came up with this. Anyway, she's shitting it now, and so are the establishment. Because what actually, the remit she came up with is this. Mm. It's an establishment protector.
Yeah.
It's, of course she didn't make a mistake with a lockdown. I mean, with lockdowns work. No. Lockdowns didn't fucking work, and we should be talking about this. And when Michael Gove dared to say maybe COVID was man-made, that King's Council goes, no, we're not going there. Anyway.
The COVID inquiry doesn't want to know where COVID came from.
And it doesn't want to know whether or not lockdowns worked.
No.
It's starting,
not really an inquiry
its
at all,
starting but point is that lockdowns worked. Well, they fucking didn't. This is the inquiry without a spirit of inquiry.
Yes.
And anyway, she's running scared now.
Right.
And they're talking about changing the remit. They are realising that the public are not buying this.
Right.
This is a fucking great con designed to protect the political and medical establishment. It will run on until 2030,
seven or eight years,
and it will cost more than £1 billion.
Fuck.
And we have to stop it in its tracks. The public have got to rise up.
You know, there's another fucking disease on the fucking horizon. So I was reading this morning.
Well, not this pig swine thing.
No, not that. That's bollocks. I mean, the fucking Sky News tries to put
another one of those ones you get from animals. You
know, right at the end of the fucking story, it said, oh, the human who managed to contract this particular disease has fully recovered. So there's no fucking story. But there is a story, apparently.
Yeah.
There's some kind of form of pneumonia which is going around in China. And they've started locking people down. They've started making them wear masks. And it's happening, apparently, in Denmark, for all places. I don't know why Denmark. I don't know if there's a connection between China and Denmark. But I mean, keep your fucking eyes open for that, because there'll be more of that coming.
Jesus,
but apparently it affects young people, so we'll be all right. So there's no need for us to do anything.
Do you know that's what's interesting? Of course, COVID, you know, it wasn't actually all that fatal at all. I mean, our reaction to that reasonably minor kind of variation.
No, I mean, what we did...
Our reaction was way over the top. Ridiculous. Way over the top.
Well, do you remember the first sort of week or two? I don't remember what you were doing that in that particular time.
Yeah.
2020, when I remember walking out of the telephone exchange, which is no longer there, the pub. And that was my last...
That's a pub, not a telephone exchange.
Yeah, it was a pub. And I remember talking to the girl behind the bar, and she was like, I think Lithuanian or something like that. She was a student, and she was like, I think I might have to go home because I'm a student and the college has just closed down. And I was like, right, okay. And I thought to myself, I remember walking to the escalator to go into my car, and I thought, this will be a couple of weeks. And then coming into work the next day, fucking streets deserted, no fucker around.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And like something out of a movie.
And 2 years of shit in your head.
And 2 years have totally fucked my sense of timing now. I don't know where anything went. I don't know what happened. I don't know what fucking...
These cunts, the fucking government and these medical fascists, they stole our lives.
Yeah.
They stole our fucking lives. They shut down the economy. They ruined the fucking country. And now they're having an inquiry, telling each other what a great job they did. You fucking didn't, you arseholes. Fucking wankers, honestly.
They really are the pits, aren't they?
Yeah, as I say, there was a big move now.
But you know what I think?
For people to rise up and say, no, we want a proper COVID inquiry.
Yeah, and that's what should happen. But I think also we saw this week another example of this, that we've somehow managed to allow the fucking sort of plutocrats, the technocrats, to take over Britain.
Mm.
You know, the sort of senior civil servants. Those two guys that we saw with Lee Anderson this week, you know, in the Home Office.
Yeah.
I mean, fucking hell. Did you see them? Lee Anderson's asking them for figures on how many people they've deported, right, in the last 6 months, not including Albanians and not including somebody else.
Yeah.
And they literally just looked at him and went, we'll be sending you those figures. He said, well, do you not know? And they sort of looked around and they started turning pages and like this. And he says, well,
pretty basic figure, isn't it?
Could you tell me how many have been deported maybe in the last month? Well, now they've got four people behind them, they're all shaking their heads. You go, you're the fucking head to the Home Office. How the fuck do you not know how many people you've deported? Because it won't be a very big number. It's probably fucking zero.
Yeah, the thing is, there's a good piece in the Daily Mail today which says that the Tory party has been taken over again by elitists, globalists, and people whose opinions on immigration and migrants are not in tune with the British public. They're looking down on us because we're worried about the number of migrants coming into the country.
Yeah.
They don't care what we think. They plough on regardless. Yeah. They think we're kind of Neanderthals.
Yes.
And that's why the Tory party are going to lose the next election, because they've allowed these fuckers, and by the way, Rishi Sunak is one of them, to take over the Tory party.
But there's a couple of decent Tory MPs I've been talking to recently.
Oh, they're not all guns.
Who have said... Look at what's happened in fucking Netherlands with old Geert Wilders, who's also blocked me, by the way. And
fuck, because you're too right wing.
No, apparently. Well, when he tried to come to Britain, I think I said something like, don't bother flying into Britain to fucking demonstrate and fucking tell everybody how fucking much of a cunt you are, because we've already got plenty of them here, thanks. but also Maloney in Italy.
We're okay for cunts.
Yeah, we're full up with them.
We're covered on cunts.
Europe is going more and more to the right because people are fed up to the back teeth with all the fucking migrants. I mean, I don't know what you saw when you were on a holiday in the summer. But, you know, everywhere you go now in Europe, I went to Cyprus in June.
Yeah.
You see them everywhere. And you know they're fucking migrants. It's very easy to tell. And you go to Italy, you see them. You go to France, you see them. You know, every fucking European country has got the same problem we've got, if not worse.
Yeah.
Right? And people have fucking had enough.
And politicians, you know, as I say, they all think we're Neanderthal for being worried about this. So the public in places like Holland, and it probably will happen in Britain, they go, these fucking politicians, they're just not listening to us. Let's vote for someone who does.
Mm.
And that someone will be someone like Geert Wilders.
Yeah, it will.
It won't be Rishi Globalist Sunak or fucking establishment fucking poor Lord Snooty Cameron.
Or Sakir Flip-Flop.
Well, by the way, wasn't that the most depressing political event of recent times, of modern times? Mm. The rehabilitation, the resuscitation of that establishment fucking bore Cameron.
I know. And worse than that was all the people who they wheeled out to say what a wonderful, brilliant leader he was. And how fantastically respected he is on the national
stage. No, he's not. He was fucking hopeless.
Well, I liked Peter Hitchens Hitchens' nickname for him, which was Lord Slippery of Tripoli.
Yeah, very good, very good. Yeah, he was the friend of Libya. Yeah. Completely fucked Libya. Completely fucked Syria.
Yeah.
Totally fucking wrong on the EU.
Yeah.
Useless politician. Yeah. Never right about anything.
No. Well, absolutely right. Incredible. Now, the least surprising story of the day, we'll finish up with this one. Revealed, it says here, more than half of A&Es are failing as experts fear, wait for it, a dire winter ahead for the NHS.
I mean, normally
they start warning about this is the last winter for the NHS ever, about October time. I mean, we're nearly in December now.
It's a bit late this year.
It's very late. I mean, I'm a bit worried about so they've basically named all these hospitals where the A&E departments are so fucking bad that you basically might as well not bother going there. In fact, you're better off fucking taking your own appendix out and hoping for the best.
They're fucking useless, these hospitals, I mean, aren't they?
Just shit.
You need more funding. No, you need to be less of a cunt.
Yeah.
And stop spending money ridiculously. 200 billion fucking quid a year to the NHS. And they say it's not enough.
Yeah.
Do me a fucking favour.
But also, everyone I talk to who goes anywhere near hospitals and who is working in them says that you see loads of fucking nurses, you see loads of doctors, but whenever you ask any of them to do anything, they go, oh, no, don't do that. I'll get you the nurse that does that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they've basically broken the thing up to such an extent that they've got so many layers of fucking management, and nurses who do no fucking nursing, all they do is fucking walk around with clipboards, that you can't actually get anything fucking fixed.
Yeah, you know. They'll still wear masks all the time,
don't they,
in hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're useless hospitals. The NHS is useless.
It's fucking crap.
Absolutely fucking crap. I think we should privatise it.
Yeah, I think you might as well, because I think more people than ever are now realising that there's no point in even going to the NHS, you know, because I went and got my operation done privately,
yeah.
And it was quite a busy hospital, and you could see that there were people there who clearly just decided to fucking pay for it themselves, because they can't fucking wait any longer.
People are going bankrupt, so trying to get money for operations that the NHS should do on them, but won't, because the NHS is fucking useless.
Right.
Fucking useless.
Absolute shit. Anyway, what can I tell you? Any football news?
I was up at Craven Cottage on Monday for the top game, Fulham versus Wolverhampton Wanderers, and Fulham won 3-2 in a match.
That's a thriller.
It was like watching VAR. And then this is how long the match lasted, 104 minutes. 104. Because the whole fucking match was just VAR.
And now they're doing VAR on corners, right? Isn't that the idea?
Well, they're talking about it. But
I don't know. How would that work then?
Well,
they're just saying that if you take a corner, somebody says it's an illegal corner. Yeah, what's an illegal corner?
So if you dispute that that's a corner,
right,
you'll have to go to VAR. I mean, that's getting ridiculous. But matches will last 2 fucking hours.
Mm.
And I just think we should go back to what we used to do. Until VAR came along, referees, you know, they made mistakes,
yeah,
but we accept that human error.
It was part of the game, wasn't it?
But think about it. 99.9% of decisions that referees made without VAR were right.
Yes.
They got some incidents wrong, and sometimes they didn't see things, but you have to accept
that.
Most
managers and players and fans would say, over the course of the season,
exactly.
Like, a couple go against you, a couple go against them.
The system wasn't broken. Why did we fucking fix it? And now we've got this fucking VAR thing, which doesn't give you definitive decisions anyway.
Yeah.
You know, you get a VAR decision, that was a penalty. You look back on it, you go,
look at that goal they just allowed, the Liverpool goal.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's fucking a joke, isn't it? But this is the thing, you can't make something which is a movable fucking and changeable situation. You can't be absolutely 100% right about it, no matter how many fucking computers you use.
Yeah, I know.
Because it moves too quick.
Yeah.
You can't fucking judge it.
I mean, it's fucking cold and it's late on Monday night. And, you know, we're there for 104 fucking minutes. Games last 90 minutes.
Right.
So you put bloody half time in that. By the time I got fucking home, it was about 12:30.
That's
ridiculous. But anyway, at least we won.
Well, at least you got 3 points.
That's a rare thing.
Very good. Absolutely right. Right. Well, listen, it's getting near Christmas, but I shall be going off to America at the weekend. So
I
shall report back.
Are you coming back next week, though?
Yeah, I'm just off on Monday. I'll be back Tuesday morning.
All right.
All things being equal.
So we will regroup for another thought, please. This time next week, but until then, you can all fuck off.
Yeah, exactly. Wankers.
We'll be right back.